you're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal and the Digital Don, Logan Norton, taking you into our bi-week edition of Upon Further Review, brought to you by the good people of Coors Light. And Logan, before we get into it, man, today is a celebration. Not only are your Las Vegas Raiders 3-2, not only are we fired up, feeling good, feeling confident, feeling sexy going into the bye, but this is our first episode in the new podcast studio here in the facility. And this is a long time coming, and obviously it has not materialized the way that we thought it was going to. All of our friends are not here like we dreamed it up, Logan. But we have made it somehow, some way, and I'm fired up that you're going on this crazy, wild adventure with me, my friend.
Eddie, I'm stoked to be here. This is unbelievable. The Raiders coming off that win. I'm smiling, Eddie. You can't see it, but I'm smiling, and I'm ready to go.
Well, hopefully sooner than later, I see that beautiful smile of yours, big fella, and we're hanging out and enjoying this, doing this, you know, in person and living the good life once again. But, oh, it's good, bro, and today is a beautiful day to drink six or possibly more ice-cold Coors Lights because that is what we're doing today. We are doing our bi-week edition of the show, as I said at the top. And because it's the bye, because we don't want to bother the players because they're staying at home, staying safe, staying healthy, doing the things that they needed to do to ensure that we get through the rest of the regular season and hopefully into the playoffs, it's just you and I, man. And we're going to sit back, we're going to go back and forth, and we're going to crack open a six-pack of all things Las Vegas Raiders this afternoon. And Logan, you know the deal, brother. You are the guest of honor today. So please, start me up.
All right, Eddie, let's do it. So, man, I'm excited. Okay, Eddie, the first Coors Light for you, what has been or who has been the biggest impact free agent signing or rookie addition through the first 5 weeks, Eddie?
Ooh, that is a good question. I mean, I feel like there's so many different ways you can go. I think Henry Ruggs is a good one to kind of start off with, just because this offense, Logan, it just is entirely different with him in the mix, with number 11 out wide, stretching the defense, doing what he has done, well, I guess really in limited reps throughout the early part of the season. I mean, he's a great place. You could start there. You could go Nick Kwiatkowski on the defensive side of the football. But, oh, man, a good question. I'm going to go with Ruggs, though. I really am. Just because of this, Logan. And I know that we haven't seen as much of Henry Ruggs III as we would have liked throughout the first 5 weeks of the year. But there was a noticeable difference with this offense on Sunday. And I don't want to attribute that entirely to Henry Ruggs III, because I think Derek played his most efficient, aggressive, attacking game that he has played in a long, long time against the Chiefs. And obviously the offensive line is getting healthier. Trent Brown is back in the mix. But there was just something about Ruggs, it was hard to kind of put into words, but you just felt his presence. You saw him out there. And the Chiefs' defense had to take account of him. They had to know where he was from the first rep to the final play of the game. And we have not, and this is no shot at anyone on the offense, Logan, we just haven't had that kind of dynamic playmaker in a long time, specifically not in 2020. So I'm going to go with Henry Ruggs III. I'm going to go with HR3, number 11, with the beautiful, just gorgeous dangling earring. But what are you going with?
Yeah, I think for me, it's definitely Nick Kwiatkowski. Just, I mean, We've seen him, you know, how that defense looks with him and without him, and what he's calling the defense, he's getting everyone lined up. But Henry Ruggs, from an offensive perspective, he's the game changer we've wanted. He, you know, obviously one of the difference makers from Sunday against the Chiefs. So I agree with you on that, Eddie.
I mean, and you know, we talked about the offense just a second ago, Logan, where it felt different with Henry Ruggs III in the mix. You can say the same thing defensively, too, because the communication since Nick Kay has been back in the middle of that defense has been I'm not a football guy, right, Logan? I've never pretended to be an X's and O's guy, a scheme guy. But it just looks like the defense is getting to the line of scrimmage in plenty of time, looking confident, knowing what they have to do. And a lot of that begins with the man in the middle, Nick Kay. And not only that, he's laid the wood, brother. He has been knocking guys backwards. There was that one play he had on Sunday where he didn't make the tackle, but he threw the Chiefs wide receiver. I don't know if I remember if it was Tyreek Hill or Hardman or who it was, but he threw them back into week three. And so having his his presence in the middle of the field, a guy who, you know, he's not a big talker, right? He's not a guy kind of pumping his chest, but a guy who's really quietly gone about his work and done what he's needed to do. He's been an incredible addition to this this defense as well. So good call there, my friend.
Yeah, and I like that he's really getting his opportunity now, and he's really showing us what kind of football player he can be, and I'm glad it's for our defense.
Absolutely. So let us carry on to question two, a.k.a. beer number two. Thank you, Lee, in the back. I love that, brother. I'm gonna start with you here, Logan. Through 5 weeks, and this is, you can go a lot of different places with this, so the floor is yours, my friend. You know I trust you implicitly. What is your biggest surprise about this team through 5 weeks?
Yeah, that's a very good one, Eddie. For me, it's going to be just the amount of talent that is on this roster and the depth that Mike Mayock has put together. I mean, we've had a lot of injuries. A lot of guys have had to have the next man up mentality. And, you know, the amount of different players that have gotten either a reception or have had to fill in and make plays, whether that's Isaiah Johnson at safety or, you know, Nelson Aguilar coming up big, literally almost catching everything that has been thrown his way, and also four touchdowns. So I think that I guess it's the depth isn't quite the surprise as an answer to your question, but just the amount of talent that we've seen through 5 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you there, where Jason Fitz and I were on Raider Nation Radio, hashtag shameless plug alert, earlier today, and we were talking about Nelson Aguilar, and he seems like a guy who just, I don't know what it was, I don't know if it's as simple as he just needed a fresh set of, you know, a new scenery. He needed somewhere to start with a fresh slate. I don't know what it is, but he has made the most out of his opportunities. And very quietly, Logan, he's become key to what this team wants to do offensively. And the targets are not astronomical, right? Darren Waller is likely, barring something crazy, is probably going to be your, you know, volume target guy. But Aguilar has really made the most of his chances. He's found the end zone a couple times, and he has been a key part to what Derek Carr wants to do offensively. But I'm going to stick with the offense for what my biggest surprise is, Logan. And I'm just going to say that, to me, through 5 weeks, when I'm looking at your 3-2 Las Vegas Raiders, I knew that going into 2020 that the strength of this team was going to be the offensive line. I think a lot of us entering this year knew that that was going to be the case. But what's surprising to me is that given all the personnel changes, given all the injuries, given everything that Tom Cable has had thrown at him over the past, gosh, month, 2 months, whatever it is, that offensive line has not dipped in production. And just to recap for all the good people at home, Trent Brown returns on Sunday after missing really the entirety of the season, sans 3 snaps in week one. There's been a rotating, you know, cast of characters at right tackle. Richie Incognito has missed a few weeks. You have John Simpson. You have Denzel Good. You're throwing a lot of pieces into the puzzle through the first 5 weeks on that offensive line. But it hasn't mattered. It's been the quality of play has remained very consistent. They've been able to give Josh room to operate. They've been able to give Derek time to do what he needs to do in the pocket. And you can't say enough good things about Tom Cable and what they've been able to do, from Rodney Hudson in the middle to Big Gabe Jackson, the silent assassin on his right side. I mean, they've been so good. And it hasn't mattered, Logan, who the players are that line up there. Win or lose, there has not been any drop in play in that offensive line. And it's very exciting to me, probably scary for teams around the division, to think that this offensive line is playing this well and now they're just starting to get healthy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, my big takeaway is just it doesn't matter, I guess, where Denzel Good is or who's playing right tackle. You know, John Simpson getting his snaps. Everyone has played at such a high level. And, you know, you've mentioned Tom Cable quite a bit, Eddie, through 5 weeks. And, you know, the way he's getting guys prepared, whether, you know, who it is, again, where Denzel Good is playing, this offensive line has been absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, dude, it's Denzel Good. While we give a lot of credit to Tom Cable, I mean, Denzel Good, I feel like, deserves some sort of award for what he's done. He's been such a valuable member of this team. He has done everything and more that's been asked of him over the past 5 weeks, and he's playing incredibly. He's done so many things, and good teams need guys like Denzel Good. You need Denzel Goods. You need Hunter Renfros. You need, you know, you need guys like that. You need good depth pieces. And Denzel has really done everything and more that has been asked of him. He's moved around the line, and it hasn't mattered because, like I said, man, the quality of play has remained consistent. And to me, I don't want to say that's surprising, but it's kind of surprising that given all these things that have happened the past 5 weeks, they're still playing their asses off. It's incredible. So you hit me, Logan. Question three, what do you got?
Okay, question three. You know, we see the snaps on the field. We both look at the snap counts. Who do you want to get more snaps going forward?
Ooh, that's a good question. That is a really good question. Who do I want to see getting more snaps going forward? I'm going to go perhaps the unconventional route, Logan. I'm going to say Alec Ingold. I think that's a guy that I think we could see a little more out of. I think at this point we're doing him a disservice by putting him in the fullback box because, listen, I don't know how many fullbacks are getting wheel routes called to, you know, having their chance to go run wheel routes. He's hurtling guys left and right. He's dynamic in the passing game now. And he's just an offensive weapon. He's a guy that can do a lot of things. And I know that he's going to make his money. And I'm sure that Gruden is smiling ear to ear whenever he sees Alec as Josh's lead blocker. But, man, he is a guy who's done it all. He's been incredible through the first part of 2020. And I think that when I see what he's capable of doing, when I see the myriad ways he can attack an offense, I mean, that's a guy that I want to see the ball in his hands a little more often. And I know it sounds crazy, but like, all right, how are we going to get the fullback more involved considering all the weapons we have? You know, we have the Henry Ruggs, Brian Edwards is going to get healthy, Josh Jacobs, Zay Jones, Hunter, you know, yada, yada, yada. But let's find a way to get the fullback some love, man, because he's a matchup nightmare for a lot of defenses, a lot of defensive coordinators, and he's a guy that I want to see get involved in some way, shape, or form. So what do you think, though?
Yeah, well, also, Ingold's kind of the trendy pick after this last game.
No, it's a very, like, living-in-the-moment pick, but I'm sticking with it.
No, I like it. I mean, ever since, like, he's had some highlights, like the hurdle, you know, getting first downs, going out wide, almost, you know, having a high-point catch. Yeah, no, I like it, Eddie. But for me, mine's Jeff Heath, and it's not, you know.
Speaking of living in the moment, come on, bro.
Well, hold on. I know. Hold on. But I want to say Heath is definitely getting his special team snaps, so not so much from that angle. But he's a big-time player. He shows up in big moments. And however we can get him involved, I just think I would like to see him on the field more. That's all, Eddie.
And let me ask you this. If he doesn't have that nearly pick six on Sunday, do you have a different answer to that question?
I definitely think my answer is different at this moment. But Heath is always someone I liked when we signed him. And I know the level that Harris and Abram have been playing at. But, you know, yeah, anytime a guy makes a big play and almost, you know, has a pick six on Patrick Mahomes, he's going to come up on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I like Heath a lot, too. We had him on the pod right after he got signed. And just like a really good, and I mean this with all due respect, just like a normal dude who kind of goes about his business. And up until yesterday, or Sunday, I should say, not a ton of reps, not a ton of highlight reel plays, but he certainly made the most of his chances on Sunday. And I think you're right. I think that if he keeps doing that, there's, you know, Gunther is going to have to find a way to keep him on the field. But hey, Logan, before we get into question four and dive into the back half of this six-pack, you know what time it is. Let's hear a little something from our friends at Allegiant.
Touchdown, Las Vegas.
Since starting Allegiant some 20 years ago, we've flown more than 100 million people to be with those they love. We're pilots, flight attendants, and technicians, but we're also parents, spouses, and neighbors. And just like you, we're excited to reconnect with the people and places that matter most. That's why we're going the distance for health and safety, on the ground and in the air. Because the further we go now, the safer it'll be to go farther tomorrow. Allegiant, the official airline of the Las Vegas Raiders. Low fares, nonstop flights, only at Allegiant.com.
Logan, let us dive back in to beer number four of the six-pack. And I believe it's my turn, right? Am I up?
You're up, Eddie. Let's get it.
Excellent. Question number four, Logan. Do you buy, and, you know, I don't want to say like buy or sell. I don't want to put it in that kind of black and white terms. But do you buy that what we saw Sunday is the version of the Raiders defense that we're going to see when we come back from the bye for the rest of the season?
That's a good one, Eddie. I do. I in a sense, okay, I buy it. I think that defensive line, it's always been there. You know, Gruden has talked about how well they've stuck to their assignments and how well they have contained like a Josh Allen. And I just think the numbers and the pressures were just there on Sunday. I think the coverage was really good against the Chiefs, which led to Crosby getting, you know, second chances and second efforts. And, you know, I think Abram, a lot of, and Mullen, they've all played at high, I mean, they've played at high levels in our, you know, I'm not going to make the schedule excuse, but we have faced very good football teams through 5 weeks. I mean, how many of the quarterbacks we faced are, you know, in the MVP conversation, you know, up to this point. But I do, again, I think the depth, the talent, it's all coming together. Littleton, Kwiatkowski on the field together. So yes, Eddie, to answer the question, I buy it. I'm excited about it. And I think they're really starting to find their form. And they've talked about all the new pieces that are coming together and learning the system. And we also talked about having Nick Kwiatkowski on the field. And I think this could be the point we look back to and say this is kind of when the Raiders defense figured it out and really meshed together.
Dude, and I hope so, man, because listen, regardless of what happens the rest of the season, it is hard to essentially shut down the Pat Daddy for 30 minutes. And that's essentially what the Raiders did. I mean, you look at that second half, punt, 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 interception. I know they get that touchdown late, and I don't want to call it a garbage time touchdown because it was right on the border of being a garbage time touchdown. But all the same, the Raiders defense showed that this is what they can be. Paul Gunther has talked a lot throughout the first 5 weeks of the regular season saying, oh, you know, we're just one play away here, we're just one play away there. And unfortunately, in the NFL, those one or two plays can be the difference between, you know, you win by four or you lose by 10. And the Raiders showed on Sunday that they can do it. They have the talent to do it. Max is playing out of his mind again, 4 sacks in 3 games now. We saw the best game that we've seen out of Cleveland Furrell in 2020, probably his best game as a Raider, period. This was all done without Malik Collins and Mo Hurst, two guys that have also very quietly gone about their business in a big way in 2020. And I cautiously buy it, Logan. I don't know if I can fully say I 100% buy it, but I cautiously buy that this is what we're going to see for the rest of the year. Because riddle me this, what offenses is this team going to see for the rest of the year that is as dynamic, as explosive, that can do as many things and put up as many points in a quick, you know, quick, fast, and a hurry like this Chiefs team can?
Well, the next two games, I guess, will be the next two tests with Cleveland and with Tom Brady coming to Las Vegas. And you're right. I mean,
but is the Cleveland offense, is that comparable to the Chiefs? I mean, I honestly, admittedly, don't watch a ton of Cleveland Browns football, but
sure.
I have a hard time believing that it's going to be like Pat Daddy and co.
I mean, they're the hot pick right now, Eddie. They're playing at a high level. They have a receiving core that, you know, I guess I think Nick Chubb got hurt, so going away from him a little bit has opened up that passing attack. But, you know, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, we got to look to see how often he really does go punt, punt, or whatever it ended up. I mean, he really gave the Raiders offense a lot of opportunity on Sunday. And I get that you cautiously buy it, but, I mean, that was the best offense in football, and the defense played really well.
And it's crazy, too, I know we're kind of going long on this one, Logan, but it's crazy. I went back and I watched the game yesterday, and I don't know what it was between the first half and the second half. And I guess you kind of saw glimpses of it on the tail end of the first half, but Mahomes looked so uncomfortable that second half. He just looked out of sorts, yep. Which is not the Mahomes that we have seen very often in 2020.
Yeah, after halftime, I think I turned to you, or I remember just kind of saying he doesn't look comfortable or something, and it could be the offensive line. I mean, obviously, you know, they had some rotation going on and trying to figure that out, but just I feel like Mahomes was almost under pressure all day, especially after their first two touchdowns.
Yeah, and listen, like I said, you don't accidentally shut down Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs offense. Like, that doesn't happen. Oh, right. Man, we got lucky today. Like, they shut them down for 30 minutes. We mentioned the touchdown kind of towards the tail end of the thing on Sunday. But, I mean, by and large, that offense looks so out of sorts. And I think what was impressive to me before we move on, Logan, is that by and large, it felt like a lot of that pressure came without blitzing. Like, you know, Mahomes is so dangerous when you blitz him because he's so good at picking apart a defense, so good at reading a defense. And it felt like with Gunth and what kind of the plan was headed into Sunday, that they weren't going to bring a ton of extra pressure. They were going to rely on their front four to generate that pressure. And credit to Cleland and Max and the rest of, and Hankins and all those guys. But it really felt like they won their battles and they made things difficult on the Pat Daddy from really the first quarter on.
Yeah, and it was almost everyone. Anyone taking a snap. I mean, Chris Smith.
Yeah, shout out to Chris Smith, man, yeah.
Yeah, from the practice squad to those guys coming up and getting meaningful reps and making an impact. It was a great game for the D-line, Rod Marinelli, Paul Gunther. You know, I heard some stuff, maybe they put a blueprint out there. I don't know anything about that, but you're right. Anytime you can slow down that offense, you can keep Patrick Mahomes on the side and you can score. It's probably going to work out pretty well for you.
Yeah. And obviously we're kind of glossing over the lead here. We're burying the lead, but the Raiders went into Arrowhead and they won. And if this team really wants to make some noise in the postseason, if they want to get into the postseason, like you said, week five, Logan, could be a game that we circle on the calendar when we look back in this in December and January saying that was the moment. This was one of those 30-second stretches that defined the season, that defined what this team wanted to be. So fingers crossed that that's what we're doing in 10, 12, 14 weeks, whatever it is. But all right, Logan, you got one more on deck? You got one left in the holster? Is my math correct?
That's correct. And you just had a great question, Eddie, so no pressure on this one. So for me, I know we had Zay Jones last year. I'm wondering, do you think Mayock and Gruden, do they make a move? Do they make a trade and bring in another piece for either this offense or this defense?
Ooh, you're a spicy boy today, huh? Look at
you. A little bit of spice.
Look at you. Do we make a move at the deadline? Do you know off the top of your head when the deadline is?
It's 3 weeks away, Eddie.
Look at you. 3 weeks away. So that puts us at, what, week eight?
Well, I believe that's correct.
Okay. You know I'm not good at math. Math is arithmetic has never been my area of expertise. So I'm double checking. I'm making sure everything is where it needs to go. But do Mayock and Gruden make a move? I think it obviously depends on what happens the next 2 weeks. I think it depends on what happens in the division. I think it depends on what happens on Sunday Night Football and then in that Cleveland game. But if you're sitting and let's play the hypothetical game. Let's get weird. Let's enjoy. Let's bask in this moment that we're living in at 3-2. If you're 5-2 and the division is in play, yeah, let's go do it. Let's make a move. Yep. Why not? Let's get weird. Let's add another guy on the defensive line. Let's give me some linebacker depth. Let's add another wily veteran to that DB room. Let's do it. Why not? If you see it, if it is available to you, because listen, there's a lot of folks, Logan, that didn't think that the AFC West would be in play for this team sitting at this juncture right now. And 3 weeks from now, if we have a chance to go get it, go get it. You play to win the game. So let me ask you this. Part one for you, do you think we make a move? And two, if we do make a move, what's on your wish list of things that you want to see brought into this program?
Yeah, so and that's why I brought this up, Eddie. I just think that, you know, in a couple weeks, there could be that moment where maybe this window is fairly big and we should, I don't want to say go all in, but just maybe really try to make a push, Eddie. And I do think we make a move. I think it's a depth move. Maybe it's, you know, looking to add another veteran to, like you said, the secondary and maybe a receiver. And the second part, I do think maybe there could be a receiver that's available to just bring in for depth. You know, obviously, you know, against the Chiefs, we got healthy. We're still getting a lot of guys involved. And I guess I just also want to say I don't want to bring someone in to take snaps away from a Nelson Aguilar or, you know, a Nevin Lawson or anything like that. But I just think, especially this year in the way everything's kind of panning out, just the more depth that you can have, it's obviously going to be for the better.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a great point too, Logan, where we're sitting here and we're talking about adding pieces to the puzzle, if that's ultimately what Gruden and Mayock decide to do. But if you do add any pieces to those puzzles, you're not looking, at least in my humble opinion, and as I've told you, I've never fancied myself a personnel man or anything like that, but to me, it looks like you're adding pieces for depth. You're not adding for your front 11, right? For your top 22, whatever you want to call it, your starters on offense and defense. You're looking for a little depth on the defensive line. You're looking for depth, whether it's another veteran wide receiver, whether it's a veteran DB on the back end. You're looking to just kind of bolster what you already have, because I think you and I are both in agreement, Logan, where you feel pretty good about your starters. You feel good about where you're sitting at week 5 at 3-2. You feel like, even with all the injuries to the wide receivers, even with all the injuries to the offensive line, you have Nick Kay back on defense. You feel like you're starting to kind of round your identity together on defense. Offensively, you know who you are. You know what you can be. And really, the only thing you showed us on Sunday is that you can win in multiple ways. But you've shown on offense you can put up points in a hurry. But I think at this point, it's like you said, it's adding depth. It's just kind of doing, making that move at the deadline, and not to steal, like, you know, the cliche from the NBA or whatever it is, but you're just adding a guy to kind of get you over the hump. And I think that if this team is at a place in a couple of weeks where they feel like this division is gettable, where playing in the postseason tournament is an attainable goal, yeah, man, let's do it. Let's go do it. Let's get it. Because like I said, you play to win the game. So last one on our six-pack, Logan, before we get out of here, and enjoy a little time off. Oh, my goodness. First off, how are you going to attack the bye? Are you going out of town? Are you turning the phone off? How are you doing this? I know, because COVID life is so much different, but what are you going to do?
Right. No, I'll be around. The phone will probably definitely be off, and just enjoy. Just still enjoy, you know, that Chiefs victory, and just look forward to, you know, again, Tom Brady and the new-look Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming to the desert.
Yes. I think ultimately, priorities over the bye. One, stay safe, stay healthy. That's priority number one. Don't let the Rona get you. Priority two, turn the phone off. Turn the TV off. Watch a little Discovery Channel. Go for a walk. Because you and I and Marcus and the Macho King, all of us in our department, we live in such a siloed world from training camp till the end of the season. And we need a little time. We need a little time to break free. You need to recharge the batteries a little bit. You got to go do something that isn't football related. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn the phone off. I'm not going to talk to any of you guys, and I'll see you on Monday morning.
That's it. And, you know, Coach Gruden mentioned he wasn't a big fan of bye weeks until this bye week. And normally that's actually kind of how I am too. But, yeah, it's a great time for the bye week for sure.
You and Gru, just two peas in a pod, two guys that don't love the bye.
That's it, Eddie. It's it hit home when he said that a little bit. I was like, okay, Gruden. But I do understand, just one more little addition to that, I do understand the momentum. Like, coming off that win, you know, would we like to play a game? I'm not sure. Is it a good time for the bye injury-wise? Absolutely. But, yeah, Gruden and I, we see eye to eye on that one.
A wise man once told me, Logan, that the bye always comes at the perfect time, and I think that is the case for the 2020 Las Vegas Raiders. But, all right, final question before we get out of here. Question, the final sixer of our six-pack, and I hope we all enjoy a lot of six-packs over the bye. Before we get out of here, last one. I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this. How do you feel about Josh's workload through the first 5 games? Do you want him to get more touches, less touches, or do you feel like he's right where you'd like him to be as we kind of now hit the reset button and look back on the first part of the year?
Yeah, that's another great question, Eddie. Good one to end on. I think for me, it's been perfect, honestly. I think he's gotten, you know, we've been down in some games, like I think we've mentioned. And, you know, to me, it's never good when you have to go away from him. But I like seeing Devontae Booker. I know we talked about maybe, you know, him having a turning point against the Chiefs. But overall, I think it's perfect. And I like getting Booker more involved and keeping Josh fresh. And that's a big thing Gruden also mentioned, is just not wearing him down, you know, come week 8. And I don't know if maybe some of that happened last year. And I know he was playing through some things. But if we can get Rashard and Booker more involved, and, you know, Josh comes in throughout the game with a nice rest and he's fresh and ready to go, you know, that can only be a benefit to the Raiders and to the offense.
Yeah, and listen, I'm with you. And I know that this offense is better when Josh Jacobs is on the field. That's not, you know, rocket science. But I would like to see Josh, at least for a couple weeks after the bye, maybe have the numbers come down just a little bit, the carries come down just a little bit. Because I was looking at it today, Logan, and there is no running back in the NFL that has carried the ball more times in 2020 than Josh Jacobs. And right. I know that that's great because we want him to get his, we want him to eat. The man is famished every game day, so I want him to get his. But at the same time, we got to keep an eye on November, on December, and we need him. And we saw it a little bit on Sunday where he can come in and he can be the closer. He can be our Mariano Rivera. He can be our Brian Wilson, our Rob Nen, our Trevor Hoffman, whoever you need, you know, your, you know, closer du jour. But in order for him to do that, in order for him to do it effectively, he's got to have fresh legs in the fourth quarter. And there has been times throughout the early part of the season, and even if you look back to last year too, where he has just had so much work through the first three quarters. And I'm not saying that Josh was, like, not at his peak freshness or anything like that, but you want him to have a chance to be that guy in the fourth quarter. And obviously, if Devontae Booker is playing as well as he played on Sunday, averaging 9 yards a carry, which I don't think any of us anticipate he's going to do for the rest of the season, as lovely as that would be. But if he can just come in and produce and keep the ball moving and keep the chains rolling, yeah, let's give Josh a little bit of a breather. And I'm not saying we need to have two or three series where Josh doesn't see the field, but give him a break, man. He's the workhorse. He's putting in work, but he's putting his body through so much too. And so I think any kind of moment in time throughout the natural course of a game where Ole and Gruden can find time for Josh to be able to sit back, and I don't want to say relax, but just at least keep those legs a little bit fresh, I am 100% for.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, you probably weren't the only one to notice that. And I think that's, you know, why we did see Devontae and you know, Coach Gruden mentioned that it was hot, you know, in Kansas City and just keeping him fresh. And, yeah, he came in and he was a closer, like you mentioned, Eddie. And, you know, that's going to be a benefit, you know, for the team and for Josh, and just keep him fresh for week 15, right?
That's the goal, man. That is the ultimate goal. And my goal for the next couple of days, Logan, is to just not have my phone on, not to talk, not to speak, to disconnect, as much as I love talking to you guys. But, yeah, I think it's time for everyone. It's time for everyone to kind of enjoy these. I mean, gosh, it'll be like 3 days. It'll be like a normal person's weekend, whatever it is. But for us, at this point of the year, it's coming at the right time. I know for this team, it's coming at the right time. A chance for them to get healthy, to hit the reset button, to really take stock of things, and to get ready for Touchdown Tom coming into Allegiant Stadium for Sunday Night Football in, what is it, about a week and a half? Once again, my math's terrible. But the next time we take the field. So with that said, we're out of here, man. This was fun. Logan, I appreciate you calling in, hanging out. I know you're a busy man. You're a very busy man these days. So any of your free moments is very much appreciated. So Freddie Pascal, the Digital Don himself, Logan Norton, Engineer Jim, my man Lee on the ones and twos behind the glass, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely for hanging out with us. Raider Nation, enjoy the bye. Relax. Watch football if you want. Don't if you don't. It's the beauty of the bye, and we will see you guys next week for a refreshed, rejuvenated, recharged episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.